Log Talk Radio. Log Talk Radio. That's right.
You are now listening to
Mr. That's right.
Good evening, everybody. It's me, Everett Tucker, with my co-host, Nick. It is the evening of May 28th, 2009, and it is 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Now, we are on the phone with Eric John Phelps. You may have heard him talking in the intro a little bit. He will be our very special guest tonight. Eric, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me, Everett.
No problem. Nick, you there?
I am here, everybody, and I am very excited about the show. This is the type of show, everybody, that you need to grab your pen, pencil, or paper. Eric John Phelps is a person who will give you names, book titles, video titles. You will be amazed by the information that you're going to hear tonight. So please grab your pen and paper. Eric John Phelps is going to give you names. This is not the type of radio show where we're going to just call these people the Illuminati, the Babylonian Brotherhood, the White Brotherhood, any type of name that does not specify a person's name. This is
Black
the
royalty.
Type of show that you are going to hear names. You are going to be able to get a name and a face if you do a Google search, if you take the time and do some research. What do you think?
Oh, I would definitely agree. I definitely have my show notes ready. I prepared a little bit as far as listening to some of the interviews that Mr. Phelps had done with Nick, my co-host in the past, and a couple others that he'd done with, or one that he'd done with Freeman, and I watched some YouTube videos with them. And I was preparing to take notes and to ask questions, but I mean, Mr. Phelps is such a wealth of knowledge. I think we are pretty much just going to let him run on topic all night. There's no way I could keep up here. So I believe, Nick, in particular, we are both very interested in hearing about the SMOM, which I believe is the Sovereign Militant Order of Malta, the CNT, which is something that is starting to get a little bit of transparency lately, and more people are starting to wake up to the Council for National Policy and the Jesuit Order and John Birch Society. And from what I understand, Mr. Phelps, you have a lot of knowledge on those subjects, so I wanted to see what you could inform us about.
Okay, pleasure to be with you, Everett and Nick. And did you want to start with the Council for National Policy?
No, Eric. Whatever. Actually, what I wanted to start off with is I want you to introduce yourself to some of the people who may not know you, possibly. Blog Talk Radio has the potential of having people surf and just look for a radio show just to hear a little something about what's going on in the world. And, you know, if they're in a political frame of mind or whatnot, they could possibly just scroll through and actually listen in. And they should know who you are, Eric. Give us a little introduction about yourself, where you began in your research. I really want you to get down and deep into the John Birch Society because you were a member, and I want to know a little bit. I want everyone to know a little bit about your history with the John Birch Society and your opinion about what it is today, as far as your feelings towards it.
Okay. I started my research on this topic probably 25 years ago. And what drove me to it was essentially three things, and that was the Kennedy assassination when I was 10, and then the Lincoln assassination that I became aware of when I was in Bible college in Clark Summit in Pennsylvania, and then finally the attack on the AV 1611 King James Bible, the Reformation Bible. So those three issues drove me to the Jesuit order, and then I had to spend time in learning that history. So when I decided, I wrote a book, Vatican Assassins, and Wounded in the House of My Friends, and in order to show that the Jesuits were the true assassins of JFK, I had to begin with their history and how they'd been so powerful, then suppressed by the Pope, then brought back to power, and ultimately then in control of what I call the Pope's Holy Roman 14th Amendment, corporate fascist, socialist, communist, American empire. So when Kennedy didn't go along with their desires, they eliminated him and then put in LBJ, and he was a perfect replacement. And one of his advisors was Edward Bennett Williams, who was probably the most powerful attorney in Washington, D.C. at the time, and tied to the Jesuits intimately of Georgetown University. So I did this study and wrote the book, and now I've tried to keep updated with my Jesuit Watch that's published six times a year. It's a little magazine or a little CD now.
That's your private publication, Eric?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
And then
that's good, man.
I make it so that the book, where the book leaves off, I try to keep people updated with names and dates and places. And then I have a couple other works. I sell The Code Word Barbalon for P. Stewart. I think it's a really good book. Lots of good Jesuit info on that one. And then I have The Engineer Corps of Hell that I copied. It was first published in 1883 concerning the power of the Jesuits, their maxims, their immoral theology, and their hand in the Lincoln assassination. And then I have my PowerPoint, which I feel is a very good tool to first become acquainted with. As you then read the book, and that brings you all the way up through the present and how the Jesuits control Barry Davis Obama through Joe Biden, and how the policies of Obama are going to be exactly the same as George Bush in furthering the fascist agenda. So that's kind of where I'm at today.
Okay, Eric, let's touch upon your membership in the John Birch Society and talk a little bit about that to inform those who want to be a part of this so-called patriot movement, which is now what a lot of us are calling the bowel movement. Let's talk about the whole process and how the JBS was originated, who funded it, who started it, and your membership and what you think about it today.
Okay, the John Birch Society is essentially a fascist organization. Run by the Knights of Malta. Much of what it has said in the past is very true. And the authors like Robert Welch, Gary Allen, Alan Stang, a lot of what they said was very true. However, it brings you into ultimately fascism, and they want to blame the Rothschilds. They want to blame the Jews. And Gary Allen's work, none dare call it conspiracy. He favorably quotes Pedro Rupe, who at the time was the Jesuit general. And when Pedro Rupe describes this international world conspiracy, he is actually describing the Jesuits verbatim. So the John Birch Society was from the very get-go, from the very beginning, controlled by the Jesuits for the purpose of bringing fascism to power here in the U.S. And to do that, they had to have the same men who founded the John Birch Society and really controlled it had to set out and establish communism as the backdrop for the end game being fascism. So I was a member of the John Birch Society when I was much younger. I attended their meetings. I attended a meeting with Alan Stang and Gary Allen, very eloquent speakers. I think Alan Stang is deceased now. Alan Stang still lives, but I think Gary Allen is deceased. Robert Welch, he was a brilliant man, but he was a 32nd degree Freemason, and on his deathbed he was baptized into the Roman Catholic Church for
just
a
like
job
Constantine.
Well, just like Constantine, just like Thaddeus Stevens, the real pusher of the 14th Amendment. So the John Birch Society, I had an acquaintance who was Stuart Crane. Stuart Crane was a coordinator for John Birch Society for 7 years until he discovered that Robert Welch was a high-level Freemason, then he resigned. Stuart Crane was a professor at Bob Jones University, a very well-spoken man. He has a series out, a 12 cassette series, which is very interesting, very well done. But Crane, again, blames the Jews. So the John Birch Society, that's the direction they always go to. And the John Birch Society was founded on the name of John Birch. Now, this is very interesting. John Birch was a Baptist missionary to China. And he was a very brilliant Southern gentleman. And he spoke Chinese fluently. And he was recruited into the American military to help the Americans during their campaign into China to drive out the Japanese. And after the Japanese had surrendered, Captain John Birch was, he worked for, he was a Protestant man. He was general, he was head of the Flying Tigers. Remember his name? Very brilliant man, very wonderful man. Anyway, he headed up the Flying Tigers, and John Birch worked for him. And John Birch was loaned to William Donovan. And William Donovan, Wild Bill Donovan, was, of course, an Irish Catholic and a member of the Knights of Malta. He was the founder, the first head of the OSS, and was also one of the heads of the CIA, one of the first heads. And so Wild Bill Donovan betrayed John Birch into the hands of Mao Zedong, and they viciously murdered him, shot him in the back of the head. And that was the end of John Birch, so that the Jesuits, then, when they come along to create the JBS, they're going to name it after a murdered Baptist so as to unite Catholics and Protestants and Baptists together into this right-wing movement. And this is exactly the same thing that the Council of National Policy does, to unite the Protestants and Baptists and Catholics, primarily white. I call this the white right-wing fascist movement, so that they will drive us there into the ultimate game of fascism. And the Council of National Policy is very much heading this now.
When you mention, you know, how a person who was assassinated and how a name was utilized to then kind of glorify the assassination that they committed, it sounds very similar to Captain William Morgan, the Freemason who exposed the rituals and the initiations of Freemasonry. And now you have a rum named after Captain Morgan who is wearing a pirate outfit, which to me is a representation of the Knights Templar. Mm-hmm. And you've got Captain Morgan being glorified as being assassinated, and people are drinking him up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. They will carry out their assassinations and then get a lot of mileage out of it, making a martyr out of him. They did the same thing to Kennedy. They did the same thing to Martin Luther King. They carried out the assassination but then turned around and glorified him so the masses would be further confused. So, yes, this is their agenda. So the Council for National Policy.
That was Council Mr. Mojo. And or MO, and Eric, you were about to lead into the Council for National Policy, where there's a right wing. I don't really believe in the right and left paradigm per se, but a lot of people do in the world. And you know, there's Christian Zionists involved. There's Knights of Malta. There's JBS members. Blackwater's involved. Can you start naming
yes.
some names and talk a little bit about the history of the Council for National Policy?
Real quick, Mr. Phelps, I wanted to ask a question in regards to Some Young Moon. And and the Council for National Policy, if you could get into that, because I know my mom, I was telling her about the Moonies, and she just did not believe that Sung Young Moon had funded the CNP. So I wanted to see what you could tell us about that.
Oh, he absolutely has, and he also gave Jerry Falwell $1 million.
Yes, he did. He bailed him out because he was bankrupt.
Mm-hmm. So, and Falwell was also CNP. But let's review some names here. I think you guys really enjoy this. Remembering now that the membership list is secret. It's strictly confidential, and you can't get it.
Yes.
So those are the boys that are really the dangerous ones. I mean, the CFR is bad, but these guys are the real ones we're after.
Yes.
Okay, in the past, we have men like John Ankerberg. John Ankerberg was a Bible defender and debated Masons and, you know, really appeared to be some sort of a decent fellow in defending biblical truth, but he's Council of National Policy. John Ashbrook was part of the World Anti-Communist League, and that ties him to J. Peter Grace, to the Knights of Malta there.
Correct.
The deceased J. Peter Grace. By the way, the J. Peter Grace was the godfather of Pat Robertson's children.
Wow.
That's right. And Jeremiah Denton is another Knight of Malta that was intimately involved with Pat Robertson's 700 Club.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so you got Pat Robertson in the Council of National Policy. William Ball, he's supposed to be a great constitutional attorney. He's in it. Gary Bauer, Tim LaHaye, he's the founder of the Council of National Policy and the promoter of what I call, and many others call, the Jesuit Rapture Theory.
Oh, yeah, as far as the Left Behind book series that a lot of people are drawn to and hooked on.
That's right, and that Left Behind series was put in all the major bookstores.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't get my book in any bookstore.
Of course.
But he has his books everywhere. Okay. Now, I do believe in the imminent coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for those who are truly born again, but I do not use that biblical truth as an excuse to do nothing.
Exactly. Thank you, Eric. Thank you.
Okay, and this is what this Jesuit rapture theory has done. I never call it a rapture. That's a Latin term. I call it the appearing, which we see in 1 Timothy 2:13-14. Okay, back to the list. Okay, we have Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson, by the way, said that there's going to be no Christian persecution in America. I saw him say it myself. You got Bill Bright for the Campus Crusade for Christ. You have previously Frank Shakespeare. Frank Shakespeare was the head of CBS at the time of the Kennedy assassination. And he was a Knight of Malta. He went on to be the head of the Heritage Foundation. I have one of my advisors told me, this guy was in Air Force Intelligence, he said Frank Shakespeare was one of the five most intelligent men he ever met in his life, and he met him in Egypt.
Now, Egypt is the capital or the headquarters for the Muslim Brotherhood, is that correct?
That's correct. Cairo is the capital for the Muslim Brotherhood, and that's where you have your Grand Orient Lodge there out of Cairo. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the foundation for all the Islamic Brotherhoods. We have to remember that the Knights Templars, during the Crusades, secretly worked with the assassins.
Yes, they did, Eric. Go ahead.
Okay, so we shouldn't be no surprise to us to see the Knights of the Masons today working with the Muslims in the Middle East.
So what's your opinion about Saudi Arabia and Mecca being the homeland?
Yeah, well, Saudi Arabia became Saudi Arabia, as you know, in 1932 when the Saudi family was given Saudi Arabia by the Jesuits through Mussolini and Churchill. Because Mussolini and Churchill begin to heavily finance the Saudis after that, and Saudi Arabia will become the oil monopoly of the Black Pope in 1934. The oil concession was given to SoCal, Standard Oil of California. It was considered the greatest commercial transaction in history at that time. And it was Sir John Filby, who was an English Knight of Malta and a private advisor to King Ibn Saud, who promoted giving the contract, not to Britain, but to the American Standard Oil of California, which is absolutely run by the Knights of Malta.
Right. Well, you got Rockefeller, who was the founder of Standard Oil, right?
That's right. And Rockefeller is also a Knight of Malta, and he's connected with P2, and he's also a member of the Rotary Club in New York City. So everything that the Jesuits want to finance, they call on the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation, fund whatever they want. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Stretch away from the CNP again, and we'll get back on that.
Okay. Thomas A. Boland. Thomas A. Boland was a Knight of Malta. Thomas A. Boland was a Knight of Malta. He was connected with Roy Cohen, the sodomite. Cohen was connected with Joseph McCarthy in the McCarthy Inquisition. And Joseph McCarthy was, when he was in, he was the one that came out and wanted to free all the Nazis involved with the Malmedy massacre. So McCarthy was a Nazi defender, and he's connected to Bolin. Bolin was an item Malta, and Council for National Policy. You got John Bolton. John Bolton was an item Malta. He was representative to the UN, an item Malta. Richard Mellon Scaife. Richard Mellon Scaife is a real devil. He's involved with the Heritage Foundation. He is the inheritor of the Mellon fortune. And Richard Mellon Scaife is a great financier of many, many of these fascist desires. As you said, there's really no such thing as right and left. They're all the same. But for the purpose of the Hegelian dialectic, the Jesuits controlling both the left and the right for the purpose of bringing about their synthesis or their endgame. You have Sun Yung-moo. Sun Yung-moo is a Knight of Malta. And, of course, as we mentioned, him financing Falwell. That's why Falwell had no power in his preaching. Whenever these supposed Bible-believing men of God compromise like this, they have no power. It's the same way with James Robinson. I remember the days when James Robinson was a great preacher. He's nothing anymore because he's a member of the Council of National Policy. You got Richard V. Allen. Richard V. Allen was a national security advisor to Reagan. He is an Ida Malta Council for National Policy. Edwin Fulner. Edwin J. Fulner is a very interesting fellow. Edwin Fulner was educated at London School of Economics. He was also educated by the Jesuits at Georgetown University. He also received his B.S. in English in Regis, at Regis University, which is a Jesuit university in Denver. So Edwin Fulner is a very key person in the Council of National Policy. You got Oliver North. Oliver North, another Knight of Malta. He was an evangelical. He converted to Catholicism, and now he's a Knight of Malta, and he's the hero of Fox News and war stories, and, of course, never telling us the truth. You have Joseph Coors. Well, the Coors men are all Knights of Malta, Council for National Policy, making lots of money by furnishing their Coors beer to the troops. You got Rich DeVos of Amway, James Dobson. Yep, James
now, as far as the Amway group, I read that the Prince's, Eric Prince's sister married into the Amway family.
That makes sense because Eric Prince's mother is a member of Council for National Policy. So, and Eric Prince used to be Dutch Reformed, he converted to Roman Catholicism, and his right-hand man in Blackwater now renamed another name, I can't remember. XE. Had Joseph Schmitz. He was a Pentagon inspector, worked in the Pentagon, and when he was called on to investigate Blackwater, he refused and went and joined Blackwater. So Schmitz here is another Knight of Malta, running Blackwater as a bunch of crusaders. Now we have, James Robinson, I mentioned him, Tom DeLay, that wonderful man, James Dobson, Jerry Falwell, the late Jerry Falwell, Joseph Farah, that journalist. Joseph Farah seems to be very conservative, but he's in the Council for National Policy, tied to the Heritage Foundation, and also to the National Review. National Review is founded by William F. Buckley, one of the most powerful American Knights of Malta in the country. He recently died. And so National Review is going to continue the socialist, quote-unquote, right-wing position. Remember, socialism is never, ever conservative. Whether it's fascism or communism, they're both socialist. And that is a maxim that everybody must abide by. And if you're not a socialist, you can't be a member of the club. Okay, next we have...
When you say socialist can't be part of the club, does that mean that you have to be part of the... Fabian Socialist Society?
That's right. The communists and the fascists are all educated at the Fabian Socialist London School of Economics. Remember, the Fabian Socialists were called by Bismarck. They were called the Red Socialists, and he called the Jesuits the Black Socialists. So the Fabian Socialists, controlled by the Jesuits, they birthed the British Labour Party. The British Labour Party birthed the Labour Zionists. And thus we have a tie to the British Fabian Socialists, directly to the Labour Zionists running Israel for the Pope. Okay, now we have, in Council for National Policy, we have John Stormer. Well, he was the one who wrote the Then Dare Call It Treason and then a 25-year update, and that was the book that recruited me into the John Birch Society. And much of what he says in there is true. How the U.S. government financed all this communism all around the world. Absolutely true, because one of the purposes of communism is to destroy the nationalists of your country. One of the purposes for the Cold War was to destroy the nationalists, the true nationalists of every country. Okay, we have John Whitehead, another individual who's done a lot of writing. Now, for the Knights of Malta that are involved in the Council for National Policy, we have William E. Simon. He's Lay's died now, I believe, and his son resides in California. But William Simon was the Secretary of Treasury, I believe, during the 70s. And he is the one responsible for being involved in extending the loan to Chrysler, of which time Lee Iacocca was the head of it. And Lee Iacocca is another Knight of Malta. He was an intimate friend of Cardinal Spellman, and he was also, and is still today, a co-conspirator in the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Wow.
Because he was the one involved in removing all the primary strikes out of the limousine, and he sent his head of security at Dearborn Division of Ford Motor Company, Carl Renus, to drive the limousine to a Cincinnati firm where all the primary strikes could be removed with helicopters hovering overhead. So Lee Iacocca is a major player. Lee Iacocca is another backer of NAFTA. He wrecked our domestic manufacturers in this country. He went to Clinton and personally requested that he would pass NAFTA or sign it into law. All right, we have J. Peter Grace. He was in Council for National Policy. He's deceased now. Now, this is interesting. Henry Morris and Duane Gish. I mean, I've seen both these men speak. When I was in Bible college, we had Duane Gish appear there, and he's just an excellent defender of creation. But here he is now, busy serving papal agendas by being in the Council for National Policy along with Henry Morris. Henry Morris wrote a book called The Genesis Flood. It's probably the best book on the topic I've ever seen. Founders of for the Creation Research Society also. We have Jesse Helms, 33rd degree Freemason. He's deceased now. Nelson Bunker Hunt. Nelson Bunker Hunt's a Knight of Malta. Jack Canfield.
Talking about the Hunt family.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he is, I have it from and a fellow author. He wrote Serial Killers. I forget the name of the full title. But he names Nelson Bunker Hunt as the Knight of Malta in that book. We have the late Jack Kemp, who recently died. He was a 33rd degree Freemason. We have John Singlob. I believe he's deceased. He's another Knight of Malta. Big, all these Knights of Malta and their open policy constantly beat the anti-communist drum. But now, since the Cold War is over, we no longer have a communist threat, you're right, it's the beating of the drum against the Muslims. That's their big one. Okay, so now we go on a little bit. Oh, Lewis Lehrman. Lewis Lehrman's a very important character. He was another co-founder in the Council for National Policy along with Paul Weyrich. And Paul Weyrich and Lewis Lehrman are both papal knights. Lewis Lehrman for sure is a Knight of Malta. He's the former owner of Rite Aid. So all these Rite Aid drugstores?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Belonged to the Lewis Lehrman family. Lewis Lehrman was a Jew. He converted to Catholicism, and they made him a Knight of Malta.
Kind of sounds like Rite Aid is like a Walgreens. Is that pretty similar?
Yes, very similar. It's a national firm. You find them everywhere in all the malls.
Yeah, it's exactly like that, right? Yeah.
And it's pharmaceutical, so that ties into the pharmaceutical industry, which ties into the oil industry. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Hey, okay. We're going to take a break, guys. Everett, can you pick a good song here, and let's take a break here for the first half-hour segment here.
Yeah, and definitely I want to let everybody know that I'm having extreme technical difficulties over here. We can't load the chat up, so we are trying to work through, and that's why I've been kind of quiet. So we're going to go ahead and get into a little bit of Nas here, talking about America, and we will be with you guys in approximately 4.5 minutes.
We have Eric Phelps on the line. We have been just discussing the CNP, the Council for National Policy. We're naming a lot of names here, guys. Please bear with us. It's a lot of information to absorb. Eric, let's get back into the CNP.
Okay.
Now, Eric, I had a question for you real quick here. I found my notes, and you had mentioned Lewis Lerman earlier. Now, Lewis Lerman was the author of the PNAC docs, right, or one of them?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure what he authored. All I know is that he was the owner and builder of Rite Aid drugstores.
Yeah, and he also wrote a book with Ron Paul, I believe,
really?
In the early 90s about trading gold, I believe, which I think is very interesting. One of those little things, little snippets I picked up from The Secret Rite, the new film by Josh Reeves, goes into a lot of the info that you're going into. I don't know about as in-depth. And now, in John Birch, I was not aware. Did you mention the fact that why don't you go ahead and lead back into the CNB? I'm sorry, get you off track.
That's okay. If you've got a question there, we can deal with that. The John Birch Society really was the forerunner of the CNB.
Right. So, I have a question real quick about Nelson Rockefeller and John Birch. What you could tell us about that?
Well, you know, he died fornicating with his concubine. So Nelson Rockefeller was a real piece of work. But as you know, he was busy financing the building of the UN. Nelson was, he aspired a little bit too much to be too public. And this is one thing they don't like. So I wonder how he really died. But Nelson Rockefeller was very subservient to the order, like his brother David, who is greater than he is. David is the greatest of the Rockefeller brothers. Okay, shall we continue with Council for National Policy?
CNP, yeah, let's get into
it. Okay, we have a priest, Father Charles Fierce, I believe, F-I-A-C-E. We have John Quaid, who was an actor, and he was also the big promoter of the Jural Society. And the Jural Society was really a clandestine operation to revert back to feudalism when canon law was supreme. They pushed a lot about canon law. We have,
sure, I want to interrupt real quick. John Quaid, from what I saw, did a 4 to 5 part series about being sovereign and what it's like and how to go about being a sovereign individual.
Mm-hmm. And that's completely bogus. It'll never work, and it promotes anarchy. The only sovereignty is in the sovereignty in the people as a body and not in individuals. The only individuals that are sovereign are these devil servants like Queen Elizabeth II, busy serving her master, the Pope. The Pope is a sovereign in the law. The Queen's a sovereign in the law. Those individuals are sovereign. They cannot be sued. But as far as the people's concerned, it's the people as a group that are the sovereign. In fact, there's a book you might want to get. It's called In Defense of Virginia in the South by the great, one of the great advisors, the General Staff of Stonewall Jackson. It was Robert Dabney. And he gets into this Lockean theory of each individual's a sovereign. He shows how it works. Nothing but anarchy. And Dabney was probably one of the greatest theologians, Presbyterian theologians of his days. Okay, we'll go to Dr. Charles Rice. Dr. Charles Rice is a Roman Catholic. He's deceased, but he was a law professor, I believe, at Notre Dame. Now, whenever you see Notre Dame, the first thing you want to think of is Theodore Hesburgh. Theodore Hesburgh is one of the most powerful men in this country, probably one of the 10. He has in excess of 150 earned and honorary degrees. He is professor emeritus, president emeritus of Notre Dame. He still has an office there. I think he's in his 90s, and he goes to work there and does a little bit of work every day and smokes a cigar. One of my friends recently interviewed him. He had a ride on an SR-71 many years ago. He was involved with the Ford Foundation, big banks in New York City. He's a member of the CFR. He's a Knight of Malta also. This man is very, very powerful and cannot be overlooked in the scheme of things. And so when he has a professor that's a member of the CNP, then you know he's got his hand in it too.
So he would be considered one of those high priests that are behind the scenes that most people don't know about?
That's right. That's exactly right. And Theodore Hesburgh, he wrote the civil rights legislation for 1964. He wrote the Civil Rights Act. Are we still together?
I don't know.
Telephone.
Okay. Okay. Well, we can anticipate a little bit of static here.
My turn.
You're definitely having a little bit of technical difficulties. I'm definitely sorry. I know that I'm Skyping Ma Justice right now, co-host over there on Oracle. She's also having problems with the chat, so I wonder if that is up at all.
No, I'm not. I'm not getting the chat either. I refreshed and I don't have the chat either. So,
yeah, so I guess
apologize, people. If you wanted to ask us a question, I refreshed my screen. And Everett also, and we're basically locked out of the chat room, so I apologize for if you guys have any questions.
It is all about Eric John Phelps tonight. Now, the reason I had asked you, Eric, about Rockefellers, because in the movie I had seen, they went into extensively how these organizations are claiming to be conservative when, you know, John Birch was funded, I believe, by Nelson Rockefeller. And CMP was funded by Reverend Sun Myung Moon. So, I mean, it's just kind of amazing to me, that people would think that these are uber-conservative organizations when they're just funded, John Birch especially being funded with, like, one of the biggest socialists ever.
Sure. People connected to the Council on Foreign Relations. So that shows you right there that the big bankers working for the Pope fund both extremes, just like they did in Germany. They controlled the communistic movement, led by certain select papal Jews in Bavaria, and took over Bavaria for, some 18 months. Well, that drove the Roman Catholic people of Bavaria into the arms of the Freikorps out of Bamberg, which later became the SS. So they always used the left-wing communistic side that is usually headed by openly Jews or blacks, to then drive the whites into a right-wing fascist agenda so they can carry out the genocides. What they did in Germany, they have the same plan for here. Okay, back to the Council on National Policy, if you wish.
Mm-hmm.
Zig Ziglar, he's a big motivational speaker.
Yes, yes.
CNP. Eric Prince, his mother is in it. And, of course, we talked about the Blackwater connection. Not to mention that Blackwater is a modern-day crusading order. It is the largest mercenary army in the world, and it is everywhere, and they have offices throughout this country now, and Blackwater will be assisting the order's Department of Homeland Security. Remember, the Department of Homeland Security was founded by a Roman Catholic member of the Jesuit Volunteer Corps. He is also a Knight of Malta. He's an adjunct professor at Georgetown University, and his name is John C. Gannon. John C. Gannon received the highest award that he could get from a civilian from George Bush. He was in the CIA for 22 years. He was the one responsible for giving the president's daily brief in the White House. This John C. Gannon is a very important, this is the Jesuit behind it. And so what they do is they put a front Jew up to blame the Jews for it, like Chertoff. But the man really responsible was John C. Gannon.
Well, Chertoff's also a Knight of Malta anyway, so.
Yeah. Oh, is he? Is Chertoff a Knight of Malta too?
Yes, he is.
I've seen a little bit on that, yeah.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it so much.
Chertoff
okay.
is a Knight of Malta.
Excellent. Wonderful. So glad to know it. So again, we're solidifying our case that the Knights of Malta are behind this entire fascist movement, and to add, as I've said, that no matter who they put in office, either McCain or Barry Davis Obama, the strategy is going to continue. There's going to be a continual buildup. That's what he did in Afghanistan. Guantanamo's not closing. Everything that he promised, he will not do. And I even noticed that Rachel Madoff, she's now becoming disillusioned with Obama, and now she's waking up that, hey, it's the same agenda and nothing's changing, which brings me to another topic, and that is I believe the Council for National Policy will be instrumental in bringing forth a third political party.
Huh.
And there,
we see that happening now with the Libertarian, the Constitutional Party, mm-hmm. The whole Ron Paul movement.
Adam
Kokesh, we see Ron Paul's son getting involved into running for Senate also.
Uh-huh, makes perfect sense. Now you see, this is exactly what happened in Nazi Germany. You had the Center Party, and you had another party there. And the Center Party was primarily run by the Roman Catholics. But the Center Party deferred and enabled the Nazi Party, coming out of Roman Catholic Bavaria, to then get power and become absolute. So this bringing up of a third political party is paralleling perfectly what was done by the Jesuits in Nazi Germany, remembering that the Nazi Party came out of the strongest Jesuit power base in all of Europe, which was Bavaria. Okay.
What is the point of the third party? Is that just to divide and conquer a little bit more, keep more people scattered, and swing the old paradigms?
Provide no freedom.
Well, no. The purpose of the third party. The purpose is to unite all the whites into a fascist right wing party. This is racial. This is racial, and so they're going to drive the white Roman Catholics, the apostate white Protestants. Can you still hear me? Okay.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. The Baptists. The atheist, you name it, is going to drive the whites to desperation, exactly as they did in Germany, except there were no racial divisions there, except Jews in Germany. So they're going to drive them to desperation, and once, look at all the companies that are failing, the falling of the dollar, deliberately doing this to adopt the Amero. They're going to drive the whites of Canada and the U.S. to desperation into a third party that's going to be waiting with open arms, which who knows what the name of it will be, but it'll be essentially a fascist party with spokesmen like Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly. And Glenn Beck. That's what all they're about. They're appealing to the typical white middle class, the hardworking people who now have had all their savings stolen, they've had their retirement stolen, and they're angry. And they're looking for a scapegoat. Why, look at all the blacks. What, 95% of the blacks voted for Barry Davis Obama? They didn't know what he stood for. So now they're going to blame the blacks for putting Obama in office, and what, some 55% of all the Jews voted for Obama? So they're going to blame the blacks, and they're going to blame the Jews for putting Obama in office, when in fact it was the Jesuits of Chicago and of Georgetown that put him there. And his advisor being the Roman Catholic Joe Biden, who has 2 degrees, one from Jesuit Scranton University and the other from St. Joseph's University in Philadelphia, he is the one that is dictating the policy of Obama. So they've created their polls, and then when this all happens, then the white people will be driven into right-wing fascism. And this is where I agree with David Icke, even though I believe he's a coadjutor, that the end game is fascism, not communism. Okay.
Can you explain the difference?
Real briefly, I had a question real briefly about where the Heritage Foundation and the Royal House of Tudor, Phyllis Schlafly and Hillary Clinton, and where they fit in, you know, CFR, CNP, and what's the difference? What's the necessity for having the Council on Foreign Relations and the CNP?
Okay. Think of your dialectic now. The Council on Foreign Relations is primarily communist, full of Jews. I mean, you have important Jesuits in there, like Jesuit Joseph A. O'Hare, who's a Jesuit of the Fourth Vow, past president of Fordham University. He's a CFR presider, just like David Rockefeller. And you have other significant Knights of Malta in it, like Alexander Haig and a few others. But the open appearance of the Council on Foreign Relations is the left wing, supposedly. And so it's full of Jews. You probably have 300-400 Jews in it. I have their most recent annual report. So that's the left wing extreme. And that's what all the attention is to be put upon. That's what the Birch Society did. It's all CFR, CFR, CFR. But they don't want you to have the attention on the sucker punch. And that's the right-wing extreme, the fascist extreme, the Council for National Policy, the John Birch Society. They don't want you looking there for the problem. And so that's what this is all about. So while they're preoccupying you with all this whole communist agenda that's going on, more and more socialism, take from those who produce and give to those who non-produce, the whole idea is to create more and more agitation and aggravation. I can't save money. I can't even get food on my table. We need a hero. We need a strong man. And here he'll come. And it's going to be the 1930s all over again with the attempt to create a military dictator, as Jules Archer wrote in his great work, Plot to Seize the White House, which was a plot by the Knights of Malta led by John J. Raskob to make a military dictator out of Smedley Butler to overthrow FDR. So when that didn't work, then they just went into the woodwork and nobody went to jail. But they're going to do that same kind of thing again and give it another stab. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Now, I read that there is going to be another right-wing group starting up, and I believe that Jeb Bush is one of the founders.
Well, that makes sense to me, Knight of Columbus.
It was, isn't it with a, what's the Mormon Republican's name? Mitt Romney.
Oh, Mitt Romney also, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah Palin will be involved, too.
That makes sense. Mitt Romney's a Mason. All your top Mormons are Masons. The Mormon Prophet's a Mason. They're inducted into the Masonic Lodge outside of Utah. So you have that Masonic connection. You got a Mormon connection to the Council for National Policy. So, and of course you got, Marriott Hotels everywhere, all Mormon owned. So, and then you have Mariner Eccles in 1935, who was the guy who perfected the Federal Reserve Act and Federal Reserve Bank by consolidating its power under FDR. So the Mormons have been very important players in the Black Pope's plan to bring America into fascism. In fact, the Mormons, they keep control of all the genealogical records for the purpose of knowing where all the Jews are, or any blue bloods, or whoever they want to keep track of. That's the purpose of the Mormon genealogy.
Was that originally done by the Order of Cincinnati?
I think the Order of Cincinnati had a hand in it, because the Order of Cincinnati can be traced to the Jesuits. And we have to remember A. Truott, and I had suspected this, but he confirmed it, that the Mormons were tied to the Jesuits through Brigham Young, and Brigham Young's dear personal advisor was Jesuit Pierre de Schmet. When Pierre de Schmet met with Brigham Young at Cedar Bluffs in Iowa and told him to go up to the Great Salt Lake and there settle in. So there's always been that connection, and then Brigham Young was also the personal friend of Albert Pike.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Yes.
Now, so did you happen to hear the expose that Bill Cooper did on the Mormon elders and the upper echelon of the Mormon people, as far as a lot of the Mormon people are now becoming high recruits into the CIA?
I didn't hear that, but I knew that they had recruited Mormons into the FBI. Hoover did that in conjunction with recruiting graduates from the Jesuit universities of Marquette, Georgetown, and Fordham into the FBI.
Because that was based on the book that he did an expose on called The Godmakers.
Oh, okay. I have a video called The Godmakers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's based on the book. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. Makes now perfect sense.
I'm looking here now. What we were talking about real quick was, looks like it's Mitt Romney, Jeb Bush, and someone named Bennett in a CNP PNAC offshoot group called a, I just had it in front of me and the screen refreshed. I believe it's like Council National, where is it? Non-scanning. I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm going to look for this real quick. Go ahead, guys.
Okay, the Council for National Policy has very strong ties to Le Cercle, and Le Cercle was involved with Gladio after the war. And these are men like Lucio Gelli, ex-Nazis, High Knights of Malta that were involved in bringing the Nazis to power, like Franz von Papen. He was one. Another one was the powerful German family of the Taxels, the Untaxels. So they're connected to Le Cercle. Le Cercle is absolute fascism because the purpose of reuniting Europe was to reunite a Roman Catholic, for the most part, Jew-free fascist Europe for the bringing about of the revival of the Roman Empire for the purpose of fulfilling prophecy.
That new group, by the way, Eric, is called National Council for a New America.
That's what it is, yeah.
Okay, National Council for the New America. I'm going to write that down. Yes, because you see, that's Hannity's America, brother.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Governor Bobby Jindal will also be a part of that.
The good Roman Catholic out of Louisiana.
Oh, yeah, and he believes in castration of the genitalia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Castro, that's nice.
Now, what can you tell us about how public, because I'm aware that there might have been a couple spin-off groups about the CNP. Do you know anything about that?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No. But I would imagine they're doing it in a secret fashion and keeping us away from sniffing them out. It's kind of like finding the Nazis after the war. But that's a good point. Okay, we'll go on a little bit farther here. We have Eric Prince. He's tied to, we mentioned that. We have the list is strictly confidential. We have the Church of Scientology involved. There's a couple of members involved in the Church of Scientology, which brings up Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is a Knight of Malta.
Really?
Yes.
I just saw that today in that email which you had sent Nick. I was perusing that briefly, and I saw that, and I was just peppergasted. How are the Scientologists and the Maltans combined, or is that just in the case of Tom Cruise?
Well, that's they're combined. Tom Cruise is one of their leading spokesmen, so he is going to be considered a tie to the Knights to Scientology. And remember, the doctrines of Scientology are essentially esoteric. They're hermetic. They are Gnostic. So there's really no difference.
Very New Agey, too. Yeah.
Very New Agey. And, of course, the founder of the New Age movement, the father of the New Age movement, was the French Jesuit, Teilhard de Chardin. Okay. We have, it's been called the CMP, the Dominionist Movement. The Dominionist movement, championed by John Whitehead and Rushdoony, is really nothing more than fascism. It's not a return to the Reformation. It's not a return to reformed principles in politics of limited government, but at the same time, individual liberty. No, it's going to be fascism. We have the Heritage Foundation with Fulner. We talked about that. His Georgetown connection.
Can we talk a little bit about the Heritage Foundation, Eric? Because
they
happen to be on the list. They happen to be on the list as far as a group that co-opted the Tea Parties during the tax protest this year.
Okay, that's an important thought, because the Heritage Foundation, from the very get-go, has always been run by the Knights. Remember that Frank Shakespeare was one of the first heads of the Heritage Foundation, and he was a Knight of Malta involved in the Kennedy assassination. We also have Opus Dei in the Heritage Foundation, too. The Heritage Foundation is always touted by Hannity on his Hannity's America. He brings it up on a regular basis. And that Heritage Foundation is also somewhat tied, at least to the maxims of the John Birch Society. It's all the false right-wing solution to the left-wing problems that these same men cause.
Which always occurs whenever there's a Democrat in office.
That's right. So the Democrats get to be the straw dog. They get to be the whipping boy to justify fascism. And you have this in the Reagan administration. What do you have before Reagan? Why, you have what, Jimmy Carter. You have the communism of Jimmy Carter, so we're going to solve that with Ronald Reagan and his right-wing fascism. And I say Ronald Reagan was the most horrible, terrible president this country ever had, because he committed high treason in being involved in acknowledging the sovereign state of Vatican City as a sovereign nation state. He had some five or six Knights of Malta in his very administration, including Alexander Haig, William Casey. He got William Casey in the Contra affair, openly admitting that the CIA is pushing drugs to fight communism.
Well, Eric, can we touch upon the Contra affair after our break in 2 minutes? Because there's a gentleman by the name of, I wouldn't call him a gentleman, he's a wolf in sheep's clothing, but you got a guy by the name of Larry Pratt, who was very heavily involved in the Iran-Contra affair as far as the, I forgot the name of it.
And Council for National Policy.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And he's the forerunner or the president or whatnot of Gun Owners of America.
Gun Owners of America. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. So we got a couple minutes here to kill, but you know, I really wanted to touch about this Patriot movement that a lot of people are, they got their blinders on. They're looking for hope. They're looking for change, just like Obama claims. And, you know, they're really being led down the wrong path. And, you know, whatever we can to do to enlighten them would be great.
Okay.
I believe so as well. You know, I believe this whole, the whole Patriot movement is really, it's just another kind of Ron Paul-esque Pied Piper technique to really draw people out and get anybody with, you know, a little bit of willpower against the big gov to just draw them to the wrong conclusion, to, you know, have them jumping off a cliff by themselves.
That's right. It's to draw them into right-wing fascism. That's the purpose of it. And remembering that Ron Paul betrayed those of us who went to great lengths to discover that 9/11 was an inside job. Mm-hmm. He comes out and denies it. Well, that was absolute treason. And so, and plus his Masonic connections are really undeniable through his family. So he is one of the players. And you can't be in politics in Texas for all those years without having Masonic connections. So he is a player. He's one of them. And his purpose is to foment the right-wing backlash to all this left-wing socialist communism.
Okay, everybody. Thank you, Eric, for that. We're going to continue here in a couple minutes. I'm going to play a song real quick. Hold on tight, everybody. A lot of information. Thank you for being I'm back, everybody. This is Mystic Politics. I've got Eric John Phelps on the line, Everett Tucker as well. Everett, go ahead and say something here to everybody.
Oh, me? Okay. I've been enjoying this show immensely, and now I'm a new researcher myself, so a lot of these early 80s, 90s politics, for instance, I just heard about the John Birch Society a couple months ago when I was spewing about globalism to my father, and he said, well, you should join the John Birch Society, and I said, what's that? And he had said, it's a anti-communist think tank. And I went home and Googled it, and I text messaged him right back. I'm like, it doesn't look that way to me, Pops. And that it really that kind of started off me kind of waking up as far as how deep a lot of these roots go. And real briefly, I want an organization I don't know a lot about, but I wanted to see what you could fill us in on, Mr. Phelps, is the I mentioned it real briefly, the Royal House of Tudor and the Tudor Society, being that Phyllis Schlafly is a member of it, and I noticed that I believe their pin is an eagle, and I wanted to know how that tied in and whether or not the Royal House of Tudor was mixed up with the Rothschild bloodline at all.
I'm sure they've interbred, because the Rothschilds have been the keepers of the Vatican treasury for centuries, at least two centuries. And especially when the Jesuits were suppressed and when they were conducting their French Revolution, Napoleonic Wars, the Rothschilds were great managers of their fortunes and treasures, which the Pope sought to get when he outlawed the Jesuits in 1773. But Phyllis Schlafly is a Dame of Malta. And so, therefore, since she's a Dame of Malta and her first allegiance is to the Archbishop Dolan of New York now, the new Archbishop, she will be using that society for the purposes of the Brotherhood. So it will be right-wing and it will be fascist. Remember, the Knights of Malta, they always come out on the right-wing side. On Contra, it shows the Contras, they're reading their Bibles and they're the good guys and they're fighting the Sandinistas. Well, but the Jesuits, they're the ones that are advising Ortega and the Sandinistas. So the Jesuits are on the left-wing communist side openly, and the Knights of Malta are on the right-wing fascist side openly. And always in the end, the fascist, the right-wing, is betrayed and they lose. Whereas communism is always designed to win for the most part for the last 100 years. So that's why the Germany lost. Fascism loses to communism. And so that's what they pulled the same thing off in Nicaragua. And they pulled the same thing off in Iran. They gave way to the fascist Shah of Iran, must give way to the left-wing communist Ayatollah, or pro-communist Ayatollah. So that's their game, yeah.
Now, I watched a very interesting, learned a little bit more about it by watching The Secret Right, and how exactly do the CNP and the John Birch Society commingle? Because I was watching an interview with, and I rewatched it a couple times, with Tom Brayden, Larry McDonald, and Pat Buchanan on Crossfire way back in the day. So how exactly do JBS, the CFR, and the CNP, how are they connected? Because they were portrayed in mass media to be enemies, opponents, almost, when it seems like behind the scenes all these organizations are really just tied at the hip.
Right. The John Birch Society goes to a farther extreme than, say, Pat Buchanan and his right, Pat Buchanan, William F. Buckley right-wing politics.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, because Larry McDonald was getting a little bit out of order, calling for an investigation of the Council on Foreign Relations, he was showing how these super monopolistic cartel capitalists in America were busy financing communism, which leads right back to the Knights of Malta, which leads back to Pat Buchanan, that Knight of Malta, Jesuit trained at Georgetown, along with Tom Bearden, that CIA officer for many years. So he was getting a little bit too close. He knew it. He thought he could get away with it being a representative in Congress, and so they shot him down with a Korean flight. So he was getting too patriotic. He was getting too nationalistic, and so they removed him and put somebody else in his place.
Now, Eric, can you touch upon Project Megiddo?
I'm not quite familiar with it. If you'd remind me something about it or some ties, I might be able to add something to it.
To me, it reminds me of this document that came out recently about the whole Ron Paul movement and how everyone is suspect as far as being Christian right-wing extremists, kind of like a COINTELPRO kind of a scenario. And it appears that Larry Pratt was involved with that, as well as the Council for Inter-American Security.
Mm-hmm. So that they're calling the people that followed Ron Paul some right-wing people? Is that what they're doing?
Right. Basically bringing them out in the open and exposing them, and basically a way of gathering, data mining these people who have the mentality of small government, sovereign type of mentality, and it's Project Megiddo is a way to pull people out.
Makes perfect sense. So this is the exact purpose for Alex Jones.
Yes, let's talk about that.
So that's his purpose.
Alex Jones a little bit, yeah.
His whole purpose is to bring out those who would be serious resistors to the coming fascist police state so they can be marked and tagged and named and then paralyzed with fear, because one of Jones' tactics is to put people in fear. And when you're in fear, you can't think. So even though the vast majority of what he says on a low level is absolutely true, he never leads you to the proper conclusion. He'll never tell you about the Knights of Malta running the Bilderbergers, like the Queen. She's a Dame of Malta. And so the whole idea is to leave you in limbo, but now you're exposed, and what do you do? Who do you follow? Who do you vote for? And he promotes men like Ron Paul and others who are phonies.
Well, he won't even mention the name Joseph Rettinger.
Yeah, Joseph Rettinger, he won't mention that name? That Jesuit, high-level Freemason that helped found the Bilderbergers?
Yeah,
that advisor to Winston Churchill, that wicked sinner? No, he won't mention him. That makes sense.
No, and, Rettinger is also known as the Gray Eminence, like in between the Black Pope and the White Pope.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what he was.
The Bilderbergers, aren't those the current incarnation of the Council of St. John?
That's right. Prince Bernhard was a Knight of Malta. And, of course, you have Kissinger. He's another Knight of Malta. He's another advisor to the Pope. Kissinger has always been a Nazi. Dear personal friend of Alexander Haig, another Knight of Malta, whose brother Francis Haig is a powerful Jesuit priest and is a physicist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the Council of 56 of the Religious Roundtable?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I've got a link here talking about the CMP membership. and it's Dr. Gary North, CNP Board of Governors, 1982, President of Institute of Christian Economics and publisher of Christian Reconstruction, member of the Council of 56 of the Religious Roundtable. Y2K alarmist extraordinaire, bang. Never
makes sense.
Dr. Gary North before.
Oh, yeah. Gary North is a very well-written author. I have a couple of his books. Considered right-wing, considered conservative. But we have to remember, whenever we see that term roundtable, always think of the Knights Templars.
Yes.
Always think of Crusaders.
I think of like the whole concept of King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. I think
absolutely
terminology exists today.
Absolutely. So whenever you have you remember the Nazis up at the castle that they had in Germany, Wevelsburg. They had a huge table, a huge round table, and all the top SS generals, there were 12 of them, had their own high back chairs with their names engraved in silver in each one of their chairs, and they sat around this huge round table as they would speak with Himmler at the head. So they were Teutonic Knights. The SS was the revival of the Teutonic Knights, so they would use the round table. So whenever you see that, always think of papal crusaders. And the Teutonic Knights, remember, were the Germans. It was reserved only for Germans to be in the Teutonic Knights, as they were crusading on behalf of the papacy.
Now, what is the World Council of Churches? What is their main?
The World Council of Churches, their purpose is to unite all the Protestant branches back under the arm of Rome, and thus to destroy the Protestant Reformation. And they have succeeded. The World Council of Churches, I believe, meets in Bern, Switzerland. Switzerland is always a hotbed for ecumenicalism.
Yes.
And the Pope is very well thought of in those circles of the World Council of Churches.
Mm-hmm. And then you got the Swiss guard that guards Vatican City.
That's exactly right. So they have the Swiss guard there. In fact, it wasn't long ago that the head of the Swiss guards supposedly committed suicide, but I believe he was murdered, along with his wife. So something was going on in the Vatican. That's something you might want to look into. I know I need to check that out some more. But the Swiss guards are some of the most highly trained guards in the world. They're all martial artists. They're all excellent with any kind of weapon. And so the Pope has the most money and the most teachers around the world to teach these men to be the best bodyguards.
Yeah, they do the same three-finger pledge that the old Guard of the Caesar used to do, the old
yes.
Roman troops. Yeah, same three-finger pledge. And I think it's very funny looking back into the Nazi Party, how it seems like they were tied at the hip as well to the Vatican Church. And,
well, of course.
We have pictures of cardinals and German troops doing three-finger pledges to the cardinals and the Pope and everything, and just kind of, I think a lot of people aren't aware of that. Can you speak on that a little bit?
Yes, the Nazis were brought to power by one man primarily, Franz von Papen. You always want to remember that name, Franz von Papen. He was a Knight of Malta. Franz von Papen was the vice chancellor with Hitler. Franz von Papen was the Joe Biden for Hitler. And he brought him to power, saw him all the way through it. Franz von Papen was there speaking with Hindenburg when Hindenburg finally consented to make Hitler chancellor. I have it in the story of I Was Hitler's Doctor by Kurt Kruger. It's all there. And so Franz von Papen was a major player throughout the Third Reich, and when he's prosecuted at Nuremberg, he's one of three people that is acquitted, the other one being Horace Greeley-Schock, which was outrageous, too. So he's released, and he lives a happy life, and I think he dies in the late 1960s. But the man you want to remember that helped to bring Hitler to power was Franz von Papen, Knight of Malta, and the other one is Eugenio Pacelli. Eugenio Pacelli was the papal nuncio to Bavaria at the time, and if you read the book La Popessa by Paul I. Murphy, she tells the issue of the time when Hitler met with Pacelli there in Bavaria, and Pacelli encouraged him to resist the communists and gave him a bag of money. And then as Pacelli, who with Franz von Papen, enters into the Reich, conquered that in 1933, And in entering to the right, conquered that in conjunction with the Enabling Act, all the priesthood, priests and bishops and archbishops in Germany were absolutely forbidden to speak against the Third Reich, pursuant to the Concordat. And that Concordat is still in effect today in Germany. It was never done away.
Wow.
And if you read Heinz Hone's work, Order of the Death's Head, was written in 1966, he will tell you there that Himmler modeled the SS after the Jesuit order, and Himmler considered himself to be the Jesuit general, and the high SS generals were his assistants.
I want to get into a little bit about Helena Blavatsky in a little bit, but Eric, are you ready to take a call?
Sure, be happy to.
Okay, we got a caller with 321 area code. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, caller.
This is Eric.
Hi, Eric.
This is Nick.
Hi, Eric.
Hi. I have a few things that it's a great show, by the way.
Thanks. Thank you.
I got a few things that you guys have been talking about that you guys might find interesting.
Good. Go ahead.
Okay, you mentioned about Alexander Haig's brother, right, Frank Haig?
Yes.
He's a Jesuit priest.
Yes.
Did you know that he was a professor of emeritus of physics at Jesuit Loyola University?
Which Loyola? Chicago?
Hang on just a second. I could tell you. Maryland.
Oh, okay. Loyola College in Maryland.
Professor emeritus of physics, which I think would be really cool if a lot of 9/11 truthers sent their physics theories to him and get his take on it.
great point. Very good. I met a Jesuit coadjutor over here at the novitiate here in Newmanstown. He knows Frank Haig, and he did tell me he was a physicist, but he didn't tell me where he was at. So thanks so much for that connection to Loyola College in Maryland.
Mm-hmm. Okay, also the Supreme Court justice that's just been nominated by Obama.
Yes.
Sonia Sotomayor.
Yes.
She graduated Cardinal Spellman High School, valedictorian.
Yes, 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 sir. And also, she was an acting assistant to the district attorney there in New York County to Robert Morgenthau. And Robert Morgenthau is one of the Archbishop's court Jews who refuses to do any investigation into the pedophile ring in New York City that's run by the Archbishop. And the source for this information is the detective in New York City who arrested Frank Sturgis, who was his name eludes me right now, but he knew Robert Morgenthau quite well. Jim Rothstein was the private he was an investigator for in New York City for many years, and he was told, you either stop investigating the pedophile ring or you're going to die. So that's when he resigned. And that was the end of his tenure there in the New York PD department as a detective. But he arrested Frank Sturgis, one of the Kennedy assassinations, and he was the one that said Cardinal Spellman was one of the most corrupt, evil, wicked people that they ever investigated. Wow. And he was the one who wrecked Bruce Ritter's house there. He had a halfway house of something that he had, drove Bruce Ritter right out of the town and made his life miserable. But Robert Morgenthau refused to do any investigation, and this is who this woman worked for several years.
Speaking of JFK, I got another good one for you.
Okay.
Another Jesuit priest brother was the head of the Secret Service at the time of JFK's assassination, James J. Rowley.
That's right.
Francis
Rowley. Yeah. Where did you find that? I found that in the Truman.
If you Google search James Rowley, Rowley plus Jesuit, you'll see an article, an interview with James J. Rowley himself. It's
that's
the first link at Spartacus something, and he admits that his brother is a Jesuit priest, had been for like 7 years when JFK was killed, and he, they grew up in the Jesuit Fordham neighborhood, and he mentions William O'Donovan's name to the person interviewing him, like he knew William O'Donovan as well.
Makes perfect sense. And by the way,
Abraham Bolden was the first black Secret Service agent that JFK forced the Secret Service to hire. And he thwarted the attempt in Chicago just weeks before the Dallas one. And then they increased the pressure, forced him out of the Secret Service. And then what happened? Secret Service stood down. All the Secret Service agents were getting drunk the night before against protocol, yada, yada, yada.
That's right. And Abraham Bolden was prosecuted, and he was sent to prison, I think, for 6 years.
Right.
He's written a book. He's written a recent book, and I contacted him, and I asked him to come on my program, but he declined. But he would be an interesting guy to have on, and his connection in exposing that. Yeah.
Also, you spoke about Alex Jones and Sean Hannity. I got a nice connection for both of them right here. If you go to SeanHannity.com, you will see that GCN is promoting on SeanHannity.com via
correct.
Midas Resources. You will see two or three
really?
Links that pop up in two or three places, Midas Resources. And if you hover over the link, you will see that it redirects through Clear Channel.
Yes.
And then when you click on the Midas Resources link, it takes you to GCN Live. .com.
Is that right?
And it's a Hannity webpage, so it's not just some random thing that they're doing. This is set up on GCN Live's end as well.
So somebody told me when
they went to the tax protests, they heard on Sean Hannity's program plugs for Alex Jones's show.
Yeah,
definitely.
Talk about Clear Channel real quick. Let me hear about that.
What's that?
Well, give us a little history about Clear Channel and where they're at today. Who owns them? I thought Mitt Romney was about to buy them.
I don't know much about that. Maybe the caller can tell us more about it, but I don't know much.
Oh, I haven't heard anything about that. I just know that they're not one of the good guys. You know, they're extremely forced Howard Stern off the air, and they're high on censorship.
You know, I have questions about Howard Stern myself because he's promoting Net2 or the new grid, telling people it's to keep us safe. And then, you know, he came out and he was supporting Ron Paul a little bit. So, you know, I grew up listening to Howard Stern, but I'm starting to have a lot of questions about that. And off the top of the head, I remember that he does transcendental, the meditation. I remember a lot of that. And I think behind the scenes, he's very kind of new agey. So I'm wondering who might have funded and, you know, co-opted Howard Stern.
You brought up Adam Kokesh with Ron and concerns with Ron Paul. I looked into Adam Kokesh just a little bit, and I saw that he was with, when he was in the military, he was with the 3rd Civilian Affairs Group, which does psychological operations. They do PSYOPs.
Wow.
Yeah, I think...
And I know a lot of intelligence, they're involved in intelligence, and a lot of them go on to go into, like, the CIA or stay in the military and pretend to be civilians.
Him and a bunch of guys, G. Edward Griffin, which people should look into because I'm hearing not so good things about him recently, all met over at Jekyll Island last week or 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, well, G. Edward Griffin, he'll never take it home to Rome. He'll never go there. When the Vatican Night of Malta connection is so obvious to the Federal Reserve, I cover a lot of it in my book. And in fact, a book called The Secrets of the Temple, if you read that one, it's a big thick one, and it tells you that the Federal Reserve is patterned after the Catholic Church. and if you watch the first Godfather movie, when all the Godfathers decide to meet in that building and they want to call off the war, you know, you had Marlon Brando there and the others, it shows you in the movie the building, first of all, that they're going to be meeting in. It's this huge, beautiful brick building. It's the Federal Reserve Bank in New York City.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot in Godfather movies. Godfather 3, especially with
Godfather
the death of Calvi and the whole scandal there.
And
John Paul I being poisoned from the cup of Borgia.
Yeah, cup of Borgia. And then it starts out with giving them the cross of the Order of Saint Sylvester, but it's a Maltese cross. So it's showing everybody that the top dons are connected to the Knights of Malta.
What was the organization called in Godfather 3? The Global Luminari or something?
Oh, no, Illuminati.
Yeah,
that's a real thing.
It is.
Is it really?
That's real. Yeah. If you go to the Wikipedia page and look up Godfather 3 and they talk about it, there's a link and it'll take you to the real thing.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's the real name of what it was.
I think it's Luminary. We're not sure, but yeah, I'll definitely look into that. I was not aware of that. I just thought they were alluding to the Illuminati and trying to...
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. And I actually looked it up just recently, actually, and yeah, it's true.
That's a Vatican.
But also, I wanted to make... to bring to your awareness, also you were talking about the Department of Homeland Security and all of its Knights of Malta connections. Did you know that Janet Napolitano graduated valedictorian from Jesuit Santa Clara?
Santa Clara, that's right. Just like yeah. Leon Panetta.
Yeah.
Leon Panetta, he's a confirmed Knight of Malta, so now they keep the Knights heading the CIA and at the feet of the Jesuits of Santa Clara. Amen. That's right. Very good.
I know who Eric is. Eric is a very knowledgeable dude, man.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, great.
What do you know about, have you talked to anything about Robert Hansen, Opus Dei member, FBI spy?
Oh, yes. Robert Philip Hansen was very important.
Did you know that he had the same Opus Dei spiritual advisor, went to the same Opus Dei church as Antonin Scalia and his boss, FBI director at the time, Louis Freeh.
I didn't know the Scalia connection.
And the person that busted, the FBI agent that wound up busting Robert Hansen, this was the only case he did. It's Eric something. I'll have to look it up again. But he graduated from Jesuit University.
I see. Yeah,
like
so
kind of,
they.
The way I take it, it was kind of a controlled burn.
Absolutely. It was a controlled burn because he was getting out of hand. Because he was doing this.
The spiritual advisor knew that Robert Hansen was spying 10 years before.
Of course.
That all that he had to do was donate to the church's charity. But he was obviously the handler.
But Hansen was getting immoral. He was becoming openly and notorious immoral. He was becoming a
disgrace. I think that was a cover. That was an entire cover to get Eric to look into him. It was that was the entire thing that they used to start the investigation.
But remember, Hansen was the connection between the NSA, the CIA, the FBI, and the KGB. Because you only have a handful of these knights at the top coordinating and tying together all the intelligence services, especially in this instance with the U.S. intelligence and the Russian intelligence.
Then you have the lead investigator, Eric. They're like, they ask him, well, why do you think he did it? Well, you know, the response is well, they think that he just did it for the thrill of it, just to cover up the entire, you know, the fact that he was, you know, Opus Dei.
No.
Could have been taking his direction from this.
He was the second James Jesus Angleton. Angleton had connections with Kim Philby. He had connections with...
Whose father was St. John Philby, who you just spoke of.
Right, and he also had connections with Gallitzin. Gallitzin was a knight of Malta, came from a Russian royal family, the Gallitzin family, and when Gallitzin came over here, it was just a meeting of Brother Knight of Malta, James Angleton, with Brother Gallitzin, and that's why they gave all those CIA files up on a farm in New York to Gallitzin so that he could take all that information back and purge out and kill off any CIA agents or assets within Russia.
Wow. All right, guys. Well, it's looking like we have 28 minutes left. We're going to go ahead and take this opportunity to take a little break. I want to thank you. Eric, do you want to hold over for the break?
Sure.
We're going to go ahead and take a little break, guys, so people can stretch their legs, get a little sip of water. When we come back, we're going to have Eric the caller, my co-host Nick, me, Everett Tucker, and our special guest, Eric John Phelps. All right, guys, we're going to go ahead and get into this. This is Mystic Politics with my co-host Nick, our caller Eric, and Eric John Phelps, our very special guest. You guys with us?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Now let's see here. Nick, did you have any questions for Mr. Phelps?
Well, actually, we got a caller. Let's focus in on our caller, Eric. Go ahead, talk a little bit about what you got on your mind, bro.
All right, I got a couple more connections to Roman Catholicism with Scientology.
Good, right on. Nice.
Wonderful.
All right, you mentioned Tom Cruise was a Knight of Malta. I wasn't aware of that, but I knew that one of his life ambitions when he was younger was to be a Catholic priest, like Mayor Giuliani used to want to be a Catholic priest. He married Nicole Kidman, who is a Roman Catholic, divorced her. And now he is married to Katie Holmes, who is Roman Catholic and went to Notre Dame Academy, which was an all-female school. And right next door was the all-male St. John Jesuits, where she appeared in several school musicals.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have Dave Miscavige, the president of Scientology, who comes from a Polish-Italian Roman Catholic family.
What's his name again?
Dave Miscavige.
Dave Miscavige, okay.
MICCAVIGE.
Interesting. Well, wasn't Nicole Kidman, didn't she play in that somewhat pornographic movie of Eyes Wide Shut?
With him, yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that was a Knight of Malta Jesuit orgy that they were at.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And you know, that was the last movie that Kubrick ever made. And I think
they ended
his
life. Do you think
that
he had pried a little bit too deep with that one?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do, because you see, that's typical behavior for the High Knights Templars and Knights of Malta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said it was a Jesuit Maltan ritual?
The High Knights Templars, High Knights Hospitallers are engaged in that behavior. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Well,
okay.
I have a friend in Italy, Vittorio. He has cousins who work for Fiat. He says the Jesuits run Fiat and force Fiat's buying GM
Chrysler.
In Europe. Chrysler. Yeah, the Jesuits run Fiat completely. And Vittorio told me he was invited to two of those orgy parties where you just wear masks and a cape. And he says, if you don't believe me, I'll send you my most recent invitation that they sent me. He says, I can't stand them. He said, I don't go, but they send me these invitations.
Yeah, get a copy of that invitation. I'd like to see it. And also, another thing about Fiat is their logo is very, very interesting with the snake eating the man.
Yeah,
That one, I think, you know, as far as symbolism, I think that is very interesting. What is that logo? Because I've seen that symbol a couple of times. As far as I believe, it's tied into one of the Rothschild homes. They have it cut into a lawn. And are you aware of any meaning to the symbolism? Anybody on the line?
Well, I'm aware of the serpent aspect with regard to a special man that is coming. Because if you look back, remember Horus is going to be controlled by Set, according to the Egyptian myth. Set is the devil for Egypt. So this is exactly what Revelation 13 says. There's a coming man who's the coming final pope. He's going to continue for a while. He'll be the seventh Roman Caesar of Revelation 17:10. He gets killed with a mortal wound, and then he'll come back to life. He's the eighth king, yet he's one of the seventh. Namely, he's the seventh king. And this eighth king will be possessed by the devil, just as Set possessed and controlled a risen Osiris, who is Horus.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Pope has the cross on him. He has these crosses on him. That's the cross of Osiris. So every Pope is acting as the Osiris, waiting to be slain and come back to life as the risen Horus, possessed by Set, the devil.
I had a question for you. I was listening to your last, I believe it was the last time you were on Black Sheep Radio with Nick, now of Mystic Politics, plug, blogtalkradio.com/mysticpolitics, if you're listening to this on some other venue. And you were getting into the fact a little bit, I think you, or unless I'm misunderstanding, that under Vatican law, the Pope is a non-entity.
Under Vatican canon law, the Pope is a sole corporation.
Uh-huh.
And so he's a completely artificial person in the law, and he is a sovereign, meaning that he cannot be sued, and he is as much of a king or a prince as any other sovereign on the face of the earth, in fact, even more so. So the purpose of the papacy, the Jesuit papacy, is to make this king the universal monarch of the world, who will be then assassinated and brought back to life as the Antichrist and will rule the world for 42 months.
Wow, and another little interesting thing, and I had a couple questions for you as far as you had talked real briefly on the last interview about the spiritual power and the temple power, the two keys. And I was very curious as to who bestowed those on. I'm not sure who Phocas or Petain was. And I was wondering if you could elaborate them and how they had the power to grant that to the Pope in the first place.
Okay, the spiritual power, this universal spiritual power, was granted to the Bishop of Rome, the Pope by this time, by Phocas, who was the Emperor of the Roman Empire out of Constantinople.
Okay.
So he confers this spiritual power in 606. 150 years later, always want to remember that, 150 years later, in 756, Pepin, who was one of the forerunners of creating a united Catholic Europe, he confers the universal temporal power on the Pope from a forgery called the Donation of Constantine, whereby Constantine has given this temporal power to the Pope. So they forged this. Pepin believed it, and he says, okay, you're going to have temporal power here. You're going to be the head of a kingdom, and we'll start with Rome. So that's where that began. And then it's fully developed under Hildebrand and later Innocent III in the 1200s, where Innocent III exercised the greatest spiritual and temporal power of any pope to date.
Yeah, that is very interesting to me, and I'm going to be researching him. His name was Pepin, the one who had granted him the temple power, I believe, in 756?
Yeah, Pepin granted the temple power. Pepin was the father of Charlemagne.
Mm-hmm. Father Charlemagne. Yeah, I'm keeping detailed notes of this conversation here. Like I said, I'm a new researcher, and a lot of this stuff is so amazing to me. So this,
well, you know, I cover all this in my PowerPoint, so you need to get a copy of that. I have 626 slides, and I go through all this history on the temporal power, spiritual power, Rome creating Islam, the creation of the Orthodox Church, 1054. I bring all that history up to the present.
Where can we get a copy of that?
You can get it from me. You can go to my website at VaticanAssassins.org and go to the store, and you can see the ConCon. And the ConCon with the 626 slides has it all there, and it's designed for you to teach others. Because it's all captioned, then you don't have to know anything special. But there's all these pictures and very good quotes.
That's great. Eric, did you have any more questions for Mr. Phelps?
Not so much a question, but something that he might want
to
look into. I'm sure you have heard of the Americans Warned of Jesuitism by John Claudius Petrarch.
No, I haven't.
Have you heard of this? Oh,
no.
You have to read this book. This is, I believe, written around 1830. By a Roman Catholic priest who exposed the Jesuit order.
Okay, go slower with me, Eric. You're one of those younger, fast-thinking guys. Okay, so it's Americans...
You need to slow down for all of us. Americans Warned of Jesuitism. It's
Warned
John,
of Jesuitism.
Mm-hmm. John Claudius Petrarch, P-I-T-R-A-T. It's free for online on Google Books. And there is a chapter in there, I believe chapter 11, called We Are Manure, Shell Snails, and Hogs. If you read this chapter, this is coming from a Jesuit spiritual exercise book written by Alphonse Rodriguez,
mm-hmm.
which was written, he was one of the Jesuit founders.
Yes, he was.
A high spiritual exercise book for Jesuit priests.
Mm-hmm.
And in this chapter, you will see the similarities between what he is saying, the philosophy of what he is saying, to the Skull and Bones initiation ceremonies.
Makes perfect sense. Perfect
he
sense.
He is saying that mankind is no good. We are. You look at all the herbs and plants; they all bear fruits and flowers, but our bodies only obscenities. They yield oil, wine, balm, and smell delightful, but our bodies are a sink of excrements and stench.
Mm-hmm.
And we are a pill of mud and filth. Our body is a hog which is only satisfied and rolling around continually in mud, which is what the Skull and Bones initiates do.
Oh, perfect analogy.
It breaks them down physically and mentally and to the point of exhaustion. And then they're, of course, knighted by fictional representation of the first black pope, which is Don Quixote.
That's right, Don Quixote.
Fictional representation of...
Yep, absolutely right. And they also kiss the slipper toe of the pope, and they also have the skeleton of Madame de Pompadour. And remember, Madame de Pompadour was Louis XV's concubine, who was very influential over him to suppress the Jesuits and kick them out of France in 1754. So, yeah, that makes sense why they would have Madame de Pompadour in the bones crypt there.
And then they have the smallest member dressed up as the devil as he watches in satisfaction as they do all this.
Right.
The all-seeing eye overlooking them, huh?
And remember too that there are many bonesmen who have become Knights of Malta, like William F. Buckley,
right, and like the stepping stone.
It's just a stepping stone to and William Henry Robinson Luce was a Bowensman, then became a Knight of Malta, had a Time Life, bought the Zapruder film, suppressed it, cut it up. Yeah. First Bowensman, then Knights of Malta, and high level Masons.
Was it Joe Lieberman that got tapped on the shoulder and refused to accept the invitation to become a Bones member?
I don't know. That's interesting.
I heard something about that.
Because before I forget, I just posted John McCain and Joe Lieberman's trip to the Knights of Malta in Malta. And I have the video of them going in, the Maltese headquarters there in Malta.
Now, Mr. Phelps, I've seen that you would send Nick, when he forwarded it back over to me, that We Are Change LA video of someone confronting the Superior General of the Jesuits?
That's right. That's right. They confronted him. This woman confronted him, young woman, and took him obviously by surprise. He didn't know what to say, and she was ushered out along with another young guy. And I'm just wondering why it took them, so long to do this, because they've had it for a few months.
Propaganda.
I think so, too.
Yeah, it was said. The two questions that she asked, one was easily found online, why do they call you the Black Pope?
Right.
And then the other one was the extreme oath of the Jesuits, which may actually stem from Knights of Columbus oath that appeared in a congressional race, Thomas J. Butler versus Eugene C. Bonniewell. But
yeah, that's good.
So they're approaching him with what could be very well propaganda, so it comes back and blows up in Jesuit researchers' faces. And they say, you believe all this bullcrap. And why is it that Alex Jones spoke about the Jesuits in the Vatican on Friday, on May the 22nd, and then the Black Pope was in town, and he doesn't even mention it? Yet We Are Change finds out about it, even though no mainstream media publication printed anything about him being there, which he appeared on the weekend before California decided on Proposition 8.
Yeah,
so why would he go to
video.
California before he went to New York, Washington, or whatever? He came to California and went eastward and continued his tour.
Ooh, eastward.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of the video itself, it had an InfoWars little graphic.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. So in other words, it's acting kind of as a cover for Alex Jones. He's saying, well, we're really exposing the Jesuits, too, when that's not the case.
Yeah. Well, what about David Gergen?
Pardon?
What's that?
David Gergen and Alex Jones.
Oh, yes, yeah. That little charade they had with that video where Alex Jones supposedly opposing David Gergen. And if you look at it carefully, they both almost have smirks on their face.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Like when Alex Jones was in his hotel room at the Bilderberg and for this Obama deception, and he's talking about how all the security guards knows who he is, and he's walking around with a video camera supposedly getting the art, all the while wearing an InfoWars T-shirt. And he's trying to keep a low
really
profile. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you're trying to be a little clandestine, you know what I mean? Why would you wear
Yeah, all the Canadian guards knew who he was, and they apprehended him in Canada, but yet he's at the Bilderberg Hotel and doesn't expect them to know who he is, and he's walking around in an InfoWars T-shirt.
Yeah, with an InfoWars T-shirt, right.
The whole IFC documentary, New World Order, was another way to discredit any kind of researcher.
That wasn't even about the New World Order. That was more of an Alex Jones documentary.
Yeah, it was about the kookery. The kookery of the conspiracy world is really what I got, the underlying theme, or how they edited it, how the director put everything together. They really made, with that one scene where Alex Jones completely derails for like 20 seconds, which kind of makes me think about mind programming. He kind of broke his programming there for a second. I wonder if somebody's gotten to this guy, because he completely derailed like 2 seconds, blank stare, and then he hops right back into it and goes into his little Hitler-esque rant. That whole thing, everything we're presented with, as far as anything mainstream that has to do with dealing with these theories, is just a mockery.
Right.
Well, I'd like to show you guys some evidence that I have that I believe connects Alex Jones to the Archdiocese of L.A., Roger Mahoney, which he's very friendly with the Jesuit cause, and it was no surprise when the Black Pope went to L.A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if anybody has anything they want to send us, they can send it over to mysticpolitics@yahoo.com.
they can go ahead and shoot us over there. And if we like what we see, and we like a lot, because we cover the full gamut here. We go from aliens to the CNP, so we get into a little bit of everything. So if we can throw it into a show, we will review it and we'll talk about it online and probably even contact you back to call in regards to it as well. So yeah, definitely shoot us over anything.
Sounds great. And you're talking about California there in Los Angeles. Remembering that Arnold Schwarzenegger, he is involved with the papacy. He is a Roman Catholic, of course. But his boss is the California Jesuit Provincial.
Ah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the California Jesuit Provincial runs California. He was the.
Have you seen the where John Connor met Danny Bonaducci? Have you seen that video? This is
no.
A couple years back, but
no.
Alex Jones happened to have been in L.A. away from his show when this video was taken. Well, Danny Bonaducci's brother is the musical coordinator for Cardinal Roger Mahony, and his wife is Cardinal Roger Mahoney's right hand person. Spokesperson and executive assistant. And I believe her maiden name is Carlucci.
Oh,
and of course,
like Frank C.
Carlucci?
Knight of Malta?
And his grandfather, Frank Carlucci I, was actually called the Sublime Prince of Scranton, which is where Joe Biden, of course, is from.
Is that right? You know, the Jesuits have their university in Scranton, and that's one of the foremost CIA recruiting centers.
I believe the Sublime Prince was a degree of the Roshanaya, which was, you know, a derivative of...
Oh, he was a member of all kinds of secret societies. I don't know if it was Knights of Malta or not, but there was a whole bunch.
Sublime Prince of the Royal Secret is a 32nd degree of the Scottish Rite.
Yes,
this is
yes.
Well, wow. Yeah.
And the Jesuits wrote all the rites of the Scottish Rite. And you can find that in Blavatsky's work, as she's quoting Charles Southern.
That's very interesting. Hey, Mr. Phelps, get back into that. I'm from California myself, and I never really tell us about how what was it? What was the role of a Jesuit? How the Jesuit runs the governor's program? Get back into that because I'm going to take some notes on that subject.
Okay.
Real brief. We have 3 minutes left.
Okay, you have 10 Jesuit provincials in America.
Yes, okay.
You have the California provincial, who I consider is probably the most powerful. The California provincial oversees all the archbishops, Archbishop of San Francisco, Archbishop of Los Angeles, and that provincial then reports to the American assistant, James Grummer, in Rome, who is subject to Adolfo Nicholas. So the provincial oversees all the politics going on in California. He controlled Gray Davis, who was a Knight of Columbus. And now he controls Schwarzenegger. And so everything that's going down in Sacramento is with the permission of the provincial. And the provincial controls the Knights of Columbus there in California. He controls every faction of every political party there. And if anybody gets out of order, he has them removed with a phone call. That's the kind of power he has. Because he's a provincial, and there's only 85 provincials in the world.
That's amazing.
The world's been divided up into 85 provinces. And the United States is 10 provinces. That's where we get our regional government, from the provinces of the Jesuits.
Now, the 10 provinces, I seem to see that over again. Now, isn't America in 10 different Freemasonic sections? And I believe that FEMA and NASA as well has it split up into the 10 sections.
Yeah, it's all regional government. The states exist in name only. But the concept of dividing the country up into 10 regions is Jesuit, but we know that they use their invisible empire of Freemasonry to carry out their designs in government.
Eric, you were going to get into NORTHCOM when we talked about that before.
Yeah, NORTHCOM was created after 9/11. NORTHCOM was run by James Jones, High Marine General, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
James Jones is connected with the Jesuits. So NORTHCOM will be...
also from the Edmund A. Wall School of Foreign Service at Georgetown, right?
Yes, at Georgetown. So they will be the ones, they'll be the military arm enforcing what the SS, the Department of Homeland Security, wants in bringing those into the concentration camps that they want to incarcerate.
How did you know? All right, guys. William Casey.
Eric, we gotta catch it, man. This is I want to thank you for calling in. We have reached the end of the show. 90 seconds left. So I want to thank you, Eric, for calling in. That was great info. I'm gonna have to listen to the archive to get more of that info and look into a lot of those connections. And the same with you, Mr. Phelps. I'm gonna look into more of your stuff. I'm gonna pick up your book. And where can we get that again? It's www.vaticanassassins.org.
.org, yes. And go to the store and you can just check what you want there.
Okay, yeah, definitely. We're going to... you also have a lot of Jesuit... You have a couple of Jesuit books which were kind of hidden attached in Vatican and Assassins as well, I've heard. So it's really a great resource for people to get into, and I recommend everybody pick it up because, you know, I want to know as much about you as the Jesuit, so I'm definitely going to be picking that up, picking up the PowerPoint and learning more. And I want to thank you very much for calling in. I'm going to use this show as a resource for myself in the future as far as taking notes from the archive and researching what we've been talking about because it was too much for me to keep up with, honestly.
Well, I sure appreciate you having me, Everett, and you too, Nick, and you too, Eric. Thank you for the wonderful facts that you brought forward. Thank you very much.
Hey, Eric. Thank you very much for being on the show. We'll be in touch. And everybody should listen to our past interviews that I had with Eric John Phelps on Black Sheep Radio, which is on Blog Talk Radio / Black Sheep Radio, one word. Everybody, good night. We love you. We'll see you next week, Thursday, same time, same bat channel.
Okay, good night.
Thank you.